And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Meath podcast with JP Rispin and Mickey Brennan. I was going to say Loyal Royals podcast, but it is, of course, the We Are Meath podcast. I was also going to say Ciao Bella or something like that and Il Scorchio because, Jesus Christ, JP Rispin, this weather, I know I start off the podcast every week with it, but it's absolutely incredible. It is an absolute joy.
It is. You've got a lovely backdrop behind you as well with the sun shining in too. But no, it's unbelievable at the moment, isn't it? It's fantastic. And it was, I was driving to work this morning, Mickey, and there was a shower of rain when I was nearly a minute. And I actually, it was weird. Like,
what,
it was weird.
What is this? What is this stuff falling from the sky?
Weird having to turn on the wipers and like kind of walk through rain. And even though it's warmer rain at the moment, it's unusual. But tell you what, there's pitches around the county and country that are absolutely crying out for a drop of rain because they're like fucking rock hard at the moment. But it's great. It's great to see because
feast or a famine.
Yeah, exactly. Because up to March, you're talking about swamps and games going off and everything. It's amazing how a few weeks changes everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that our training last week, we had a couple of weeks off before our next game. So training was quite tough. Not only was the training tough, but then you had the heat on top of it, and then you had the hard ground. And I think everybody has blisters this week on the soles of their feet. So what about yourselves? You have a week off or so now, Davey, to your next game. Are you doing a bit of hard training or anything like that at the minute?
Yeah, we had a tough training session last Friday. And like that, I had actually blisters from the game on the Tuesday on my big toes, both my big toes, and I actually have new boots and that as well, but it's definitely just the ground. I know it is, but
in fairness, Davey, like, you'd get a blister pointing in a strong wind, see you.
Yeah, but in fairness, we had a hard training session and then we had a few bottles of beer in the clubhouse afterwards, which was a lovely touch because nice. we had a good win on the Tuesday. So in fairness, the management put up a few sandwiches and a few bottles of beer just before the lads headed off. So it was a really
ice
nice
cold
touch.
Beer.
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously it being a midweek game, we didn't get the opportunity. We didn't go on the lash or anything, but we had one or two.
Class. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Such a class there from the management as well, organising that for you as well. So we will obviously be talking about Davey's massive win there during the week. And all of the other All County Football League games over on our Patreon services, Patreon.com/WeAreMeath. We'll be doing a full review of all the games played last weekend in the All County Football League, or last week on Tuesday, right through to Thursday in the All County Football League. And things are starting to look a little bit easier to decipher at the moment in some of the leagues. Davey, for instance, your own league, it's determined now. We know who's going to be in the final. We know who's getting promotion. And congratulations. I think it's the first promotion that Cortland have had in 13 years. Is that right?
It feels like it. Listen, it's funny. I mean, you kind of play all the time and you don't really think about these things. It's our first in 6 years, but like it'll only be like, I think, the third or fourth final I'd have played with Cortland in 10 years, which is, they don't come round too often, particularly in kind of smaller clubs and that. And I do think you have to sort of savour them when you get the chance. But it was a sweet one really for us. And I think we probably haven't really played that well even this year. We've probably just done enough in games, you know. But it was funny in that O'Mahony's game. their first team were playing in Dundry that night, out the road, you know. And Gus Martin was down to referee our game. Gus from Dundry, of course. And there was a cow calving or something like this, and there was no sign of Gus. The game was to throw in at 8 o'clock. So we're out. Everyone's out on the pitch. The jersey aren't ready to rock. And it's 8:15 and still no sign of Gus. So I was getting antsy because I was thinking to myself, hang on now, the O'Mahonys are going to do a job on Dundry. They're going to fly, you know, 10 or 15 lads in the road in a few minutes, and they're going to try and blitz us. So I had the lads kind of pretty prepped. The game went off at 8:30 with, I think, an O'Mahony's man or an O'Mahony's official refereeing it. We agreed to that. Who, by the way, I don't know who he was, but he was excellent and really fair, it has to be said. But I remember saying to the lads, it was like, halftime, lads, we need to turn this around quickly, as in get out, you know. But we started the game, first 20 minutes, I think we were 2-7 to a point up. It was like, just subconsciously,
like you
just knew. Yeah, and it was almost like, when we got the second goal and we were 2-7 to a point up, I remember looking at the scoreboard and I was saying, we need more, like, we need more of a buffer. Like, if these boys arrive, like, and we're out on our feet, you know what I mean? But they didn't, in fairness, and yeah, we were probably fortunate in that respect.
Brilliant. Oh, like, I can only imagine. Like, and the last thing you want to do was postpone the game as well. Like, so you have
100%, to 100%,
yeah. Yeah, because we did see, actually, that was one of the disappointing things about last Tuesday night, was a number of games where second teams were playing at the same time as their first team and walkovers were given, Davey. And I know that I saw a few things on Twitter, people asking questions about second teams that didn't field, and yet their premier teams, the third team, did play in championship and stuff like that. Like, there is, it's not right. Like, if you have three teams, you should be fulfilling your fixtures.
Yeah, and I think regardless of how well or badly your third team are going, your second team, regardless of how well or bad it's going, you should be fielding. There's no real excuse for that. It, do you know what, the first half of the pint goes back to, though, and I'm not having a go here, but I do think they need to look at it for next year, in that they need to either say, right, second teams, you're all out the same night as your first team, or only you're out that night and you're out on the Thursday, because it's unfair on everybody. Like, to be honest, I'd hold my hands up first off and say we were probably fortunate. We played Sandstone and O'Mahony's on nights that their first team were playing. And maybe if it was two nights later, it might have been a different story. Whereas there's other teams, like, I'm going to say Mary's, I'm pretty sure they played Sandstown and it was two nights after, and the Sandstone was half of a first team. Like, so it's unfair on everybody. It's unfair on the second
exactly.
Teams, and it's unfair on the first teams as well, because it just depends what way you hit it. And then within that, there's actually clubs who have certain policies in place. I didn't know this, but Dunamore Ashburn have a policy that if their first team and second team aren't playing on the same night, I think anybody who played less than 20 minutes for their first team on the Tuesday automatically goes into the team for Thursday. So okay. They don't take the piss with it, but they do it the right way, so that a guy who came on and only played a few minutes, he gets a start Thursday night. They don't put out a guy. Now, I know what, not every club is like that, but it's interesting to see. They're probably looking at it more in terms of player development, whereas you have other clubs who are probably a little bit more greedy and hungry, in the sense that they might play a young lad who's after playing 60 minutes Tuesday and he goes out and plays another 60 on Thursday.
Well, there's another facet to that as well, Davey, is that you look at the teams that do that, or you look at the teams like Dunamore Ashburn that have a policy like that in place, and they've got four or five teams going. Mm. Why? Because the players know that they're going to get their game time. Yeah. You know, they know that they, in other clubs, I know I've seen it happen in different clubs where players have drifted away from football because they've been training the whole time. They've been playing with the second team, and then all of a sudden the first team player comes in, takes his spot. He's on the bench, doesn't get on until 5 minutes to go. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's there's a lot to be said for that. And keeping five teams happy instead of keeping one and a half teams happy, you know, that kind of way, and players drifting away from panels.
Yeah, it should be commended. But I think, going back to the initial point, I think the county board probably need to look at it next year and come out with a rule, and whether that's your two teams are out the same night because you've affiliated two teams, then so be it. Or, you know, you're going to play Tuesday, Thursday. At least that's a fair or level playing field for everybody. And I'm actually talking as much about the first teams here as I am the second teams, because that can shape how your season goes. If you play the second team three times over the course of a league on a Thursday night and you don't pick up a win, and another team plays them two times on a Tuesday night, then they could, it's the difference between, it could be difference between promotion, relegation, etc. So it's certainly something that I think needs to be looked at in the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we went off on a little bit of a tangent, but a good one, I would say, at the start of the podcast. We have a whole host of things to get through. Obviously, we only had one county team out on the weekend, but there's loads happening throughout the county. And I suppose where we'll start is with the LGFA. And the Meath Ladies Board have announced Jenny Rispin as the interim manager of the Meath Ladies. Of course, Davy Nelson vacated the position last week. His hands were tied. He was left in a position where he had to resign. Mark Brennan had left the management team earlier in that week. So obviously with the championship literally only a couple of weeks away now, they had, you know, they had to move fast, and absolutely delighted for Jenny Rispin. Obviously devastated for Davy Nelson, but we have to move on and talk about this. And Jenny is going to come in as the interim manager. And interestingly, the backroom team is going to be the backroom team that was there, majority of the backroom team that was there last year and the previous year, that were all gone at this stage. But it also includes Mark Brennan. Mark Brennan is back, having left Davy Nelson's management team. Paul Garrigan and Eugene Ivers are there as well, but Shane Wall is not going to be there, and obviously Eamon is not going to be there. So delighted for Jenny. It's absolutely brilliant to see Paul Garrigan and Eugene Ivers are going to be double jobbing because they're with the Meath seniors team, and Mark Brennan is back in. That's a bit of an odd decision, I think, myself.
Yeah. Now, the thing we don't probably know the ins and outs of here is what the players wanted or desired as well. Possibly they were in favour of maybe Mark Brennan returning. We're not quite sure of that, or whether it matters or not, I don't know. But he is back, and that's that. Delighted for Jenny, absolutely, yeah. Delighted for her too. You know, we know how much of a supporter and an inspiration she is in Meath Ladies football, really, and it's great to see. And I think our one stint before, she won't like us reminding her or talking about it, but it was when Meath were at a low ebb and she stepped into the breach then. They're at a low ebb to an extent here. It's very different to getting bet by Cork by 40 points. I don't think they're at that quite stage yet. And listen, she wouldn't see them stuck. She took a little bit of time to think about it, but of course she couldn't refuse an opportunity like this. And interesting to have Garrigan and Ivers back. It's not something I would have expected, but you know, they think they can make it work. I think they're doing three nights a week with the lads. They're going to be doing probably the same with the ladies. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But at the end of the day, this is only an interim position for everybody. So it's only going to be a short-term stint, whether that's for three games or hopefully for five or six games and they get to another All-Ireland final. But it's a big job to try and lift things. I'm not going to say it's as big a job as like Big Sam going into Leeds with like three games to go or that. But it's still going to be a big test to Jenny and her management team as to how they can turn the fortunes of this team. And interestingly, what style of play they're going to adopt and how they're going to change things. Because I do think, regardless of management changing and all that, there are changes needed in terms of how they're setting up, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good from the county board that they're bringing in a bit of continuity, in that anybody who's going in there knows an awful lot about this team and knows their strengths and their weaknesses and the whole lot. And you should, because of the people that are after going in, Jenny and all the lads, you should get a bounce out of this Meath team. And if we don't see a bounce, I'll be disappointed. I hope that we do see a bounce and that we do see something from them against Waterford in a couple of weeks' time. But delighted for Jenny. I sent her a message just to congratulate her and say, look, I really hope that you can bring them together now and get a tune out of them. So we want to wish Jenny and the Meath team the very best of luck, and all the backroom team that are back involved with the Meath team for the upcoming championship. And look, Davy Nelson did 8 months with that Meath team, and while we're absolutely devastated for him and that it's not continuing on for him, look, we'll still get behind Jenny and this new regime that will be taken over from Meath. So best luck to Jenny and the whole lot. Davey, sticking with the ladies, but ladies with sticks, the Camogues. What a win, Davey. Meath travelled down to Kerry to play Kerry in the second round of the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship. They had beaten Meath twice in the league this year, both occasions by one score. And, you know, we talked about this game last week and we were saying, like, one thing we know, it's going to be tight. Meath 3-15, Kerry 11 points, 24 points to 11, 13-point hammering in their own back garden outside Tralee.
Yeah, incredible. And it didn't look like that was going to materialise after 15 minutes because Meath trailed by 4 points, 6 points to two. And it looked like it was going to be a case of more of the same for Meath against Kerry. But thanks to Kieran Devaney as well. I'm just looking at his match report from it. And as you said, Meath sparked into life thereafter. And they were absolutely outstanding for the remainder of that game. Completely blew Kerry away. We probably knew that this performance was in them and there was strong motivation to go and do what they did. But absolutely outstanding. Aoife Minogue with two goals and a point. That's five goals in her last two games with the Camogues. Absolutely sensational. Grace Coleman, very impressive again with 5 points. Nadine Doyle got a goal. And there was a whole host of scores for the likes of Emma O'Connell, Olivia O'Halloran, Amy Gaffney, Aveen Lally, and Kira Foley. Terrific result. And Brendan Skeehan's words after the game to the players was, our season starts now. And I don't think there's a better result than that to probably get you going. Obviously, we know this is going to be a pretty drawn-out championship for them, but we've talked about how good their league was and how important it was that they took positives from that and built on it. Well, they're clearly taking something from it, and they put themselves in a right good position now. I know it's only the first game, but the way the competition is structured, I think there's a semi-final opportunity for the group winners, which is something that they have at their mercy even at this stage now, and it's important that they go after that.
Yeah, and it leaves Kerry in a perilous position going into the last round of games as well, because they've only got a point on the board. But we might as well just have a look at that actually, Davey. So if Meath are top of the group, if I'm not mistaken. Give me 1 second, I'll just go into that. I have it here. So Meath are on top with 6 points, two wins from two. Kerry have a win and a draw with a score difference of plus 10. Kerry are in third spot with a solitary point and a score difference of minus 13 after that hammering from Meath. So if Kerry want to go through, we'll say Meath win by a point, Kerry would have to win by 22 points against Laois.
Absolutely. Yeah, providing Westmeath don't get hammered against Meath, that looks likely. Yeah, to be honest. And the way, just to confirm, the way it works is there's three groups in all, Mickey, two groups of four, and there's one group of five. The two group winners straight to the semi-finals. The other group winners go to the quarter-finals, with the three group runners-up joining the other group winners in the quarters. But yeah, that would be a huge blow for Kerry if they aren't to progress. And it's looking pretty perilous at the moment. They're going to maybe have to do something serious against Laois and hope that Meath do them actually a favour, ironically, against Westmeath. And even that mightn't be enough, depending on how those games go. But Meath have put themselves in a terrific position, and the onus now is to go and beat Westmeath and obviously finish top dogs.
Yeah, great revenge for this team who, you know, at the start of the year when we started the league, Davey, and they lost to Kerry and Trim, and then they went on that great run and went to the league final and met Kerry in the final. And just that closing 10 minutes, Kerry seemed to have a little bit more than Meath and ended up winning that game by a point. It's a sweet revenge for the team. And to do it so clinically in the second half, like trailing by a point at halftime, but to go on and outscore their opponents in the second half in such a manner, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, down there as well. And I think that it was probably a daunting enough, rigorous sort of trip down, but credit to them, their application and everything was spot on. And we talked about the hurt that they would have suffered after the two defeats to Kerry earlier on, but they've clearly taken loads from it. And what I love about it is it's such a youthful, you could nearly say inexperienced group of players, but they're learning on the job. And that, I love to see that in the team. Do you know, the fact that they've had a few little setbacks along the way, but they're clearly stronger for it now.
and that'll give them all the confidence in the world, I would say, going forward now. And hopefully they can finish the job against Westmeath, and they're two steps away from All-Ireland glory, which would be just fantastic, because they've been hammering on the door for the last couple of years. And maybe there was an alternative view out there that maybe with the retirees that they've had in the off-season, that they'd missed their chance, the boat was gone. This group of players never believed that. In fairness to Brendan Skehan, it would have been very easy for him, or probably easier for him, to walk away along with them. You know, he's been there a number of years, but not a bit of it. He obviously felt that there was something there. And you know what? Based on what we've seen, you couldn't disagree with him.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Right, so Davey, we'll move on to some fixtures then. And of course, Meath topped their group in the Tailteann Cup and got through to a quarter final. And we were eagerly awaiting the results from the weekend in the preliminary quarter finals to see who would Meath be facing off against in their quarter final and the permutations and combinations. Now, we knew when Down beat Longford that we weren't going to be able to meet Down, and it was going to be one of either Leash, Wexford or Carlow. Well, the draw was done on Monday morning, and Meath are going to face off against Wexford in Park Tailteann next Saturday, the 17th of June at 4 p.m. What a draw, Davey.
Yeah. Look, it's a decent draw. It always brings back good memories. I remember the played, was it 2008? The one that always evokes memories and bad ones for Meath supporters down in Dr. Cullen Park. I seen a comment, I don't know, was it Richie Davis or somebody had it up? Meath's probably one of their best ever halves of football, followed by one of their worst halves of football ever. And a Matty Ford inspired Wexford. I think they came from 10 points down that day to beat Meath. But Meath got revenge, I think, 2013, didn't they beat Wexford in a Leinster semi-final? Mickey Newman with 9 points that day. And it's an attractive looking game. I seen the highlights from them last night, and they played really, really well, Wexford. And I remember watching them in the O'Byrne Cup as well against us this year. They've got some decent players. I think Mark Roster got a goal in four from full forward. They've still got Ben Brosnan on the beat as well. Kevin O'Grady, a few decent players there. So, like, it's not the easiest of draws. It's probably not a draw that Meath fans would have really feared, looking at the teams that they could have got. No disrespect to anybody that's in it. But the fact it's at home, will hopefully have a huge crowd there on Saturday in good weather. It's just an excellent opportunity for me to continue this upward trend and hopefully book a spot in the semis.
When we were looking at the preliminary quarterfinals last week, I mentioned that I had a feeling that Wexford would probably get one over Offaly, because Offaly had their two of their main players, sent off against Cavan for straight reds last week, and it transpired that was going to be a massive effect on Offaly. When we look at the other pairings for the quarterfinals, Limerick will play against Leash, Cavan will play against Down, and Antrim will play against Carlow.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about, or you might talk about Cavan and Down in a little bit more detail in a couple of moments. But I tell you what, Andy McEntee will be pretty pleased with that draw. No disrespect again to Carlo, and that could still be a close game. Carlo have 3 wins this year in Championship football. But if you're Antrim and you've got a home quarter final, I think that's an excellent game. And the whole Mead v Antrim, McEntee v O'Rourke, Crow Park thing is still very much alive, you'd have to say, on the basis of those 2 draws. So that'd be really nice and interesting if it did come to fruition. But I think as a neutral, as a Mead supporter, the Cavan and Down one is the one that you really wanted, because you had the top 2 market leaders in terms of outright fancies for the Championship going head to head at this stage of the competition. And it just shows, Mickey, Mead's reward for beating Down has been getting Wexford at home, whereas Mead would have been away to Cavan had they not won that game, or had they drawn it. So I know, listen, the likelihood is we'll probably have to beat Cavan at some stage to win it. But it just shows how important that win was in that last couple of minutes of possession football, potentially, for Meath.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully Colm O'Rourke's charges will go out the same way and do the same to Wexford and get the victory next Saturday in Park Tolchin at 4 p.m. And it's given for really good weather as well. So, you know, should be a really good day in Navan for that meeting in the Tolchin Cup quarterfinal. So moving on then to other fixtures. Camogues, Davy, we mentioned it already. Their last game will be against Westmeath, and that will take place on Saturday the 24th. And that's an away game. No time or venue away, available for that one yet, but it will be in Westmeath. And then the ladies, there, as we spoke about already, they're going to be away to Waterford in the first round of the All-Ireland Championship the following day, on the Sunday, the 25th of June, in Fraher Field in Waterford. So a massive game for Jenny Rispin and her charges there. You have some other fixtures for me, Davy, hot off the press.
I do indeed, Mickey. The draw for the Mead Ladies Senior Intermediate and Junior A Championships have literally just been made a matter of moments ago. So might have a little exclusive if you can get your edits done quickly tonight, Mickey, and get them out. But we'll start in the Senior Championship. Obviously, 2 groups in that, 4 teams in each. And the Group A sees Dunshaughlin and Screen in a really nice local derby. Screen obviously going up to senior football the first time in a long time. They'll play their neighbours, Dunshaughlin. Really, really nice game that. And the other one is Mount Waterton as well in Group A. It's St. Peter's Dunboyne against Simonstown Gales. It's one of those that always evoke decent games. But Dunboyne, obviously the queen pins in the County Meath at the moment. It'll be a difficult opening for Simonstown. In Group B then, Sencerstown take on Dunham or Ashburn, and Navan O'Matney's will play Oldcastle. Group B to me looks a little bit more open, I think it's fair to say. Group A looks barbaric with the likes of Dunshaughlin, Simonstown and Dunboyne trying a newly promoted Screen. Into the intermediate, and Group A sees newly promoted Junior A winners St. Dalton's taking on Ratoath in the first round. And in the other game, Nafina and Summerhill, another lovely local derby in that one. Should be a cracker there. Into Group B, St. Michael's will take on Boards Mill and D Rangers place in Columbkill. So the intermediate looks very competitive in Meath. And then down into Junior A, again, 2 groups. In Group A, it's all first teams. Clannagale take on Manalvi, decent-looking fixture there. And Moyle will play Dunsany. Into Group B, it's Walterstown taking on Dunboyne's second team. And it's St. Pat's taking on Dunshaughlin's second team. So those are the draws. Some decent games to look forward to there, Mickey, in the Ladies' Championship when that kicks off in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and it's always an exciting championship. It's it really gets the numbers out and gets, I suppose, with ladies football growing so much in Meath over the last number of years, there is a massive appetite for ladies football.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen the success, what it's generated, particularly amongst the young girls, and the numbers playing the game at the moment are astonishing. And the quality of football, actually, I'd see quite a few games, is really, really good. I was at a division, it was the Division 7 or Division 8 final there a couple of weeks ago, with St. Dalton's against Simonstown. And, you know, at that level, even, the quality of some of the younger players was really, really good. So it bodes well.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Okay, Davey, it's time to move on now to our Lotto segment. Have the PROs been in contact with you?
They have indeed, Mickey. The first one up is from Minolti, who had their draw on Sunday night, the 11th of June. They had a €2,200 jackpot. The numbers were 4, 13, 16 and 23. No jackpot winner. They had three match three winners collecting €70 each. They were Hilda O'Brien, Des McGuire and Patricia Smith. The special online prize of €50 went to none other than We Are Me, then care of Mickey Brennan. So another 50 quid in the kitty for you, Mickey. You're still holding out for the big one. Next draw for them takes place next Sunday. They've got €2,400. Next up is Cartown, and the results from last Friday night, €14,600 of a jackpot. Jeez, it's a monster jackpot out in Cartown. The number
really
seven,
is it?
Yeah. 7, 20, 29, and 31. No winner. Good numbers for us as well, by the way. No winner in that one, but the five €20 winners were Rosie Heary, Harry Newman, the Dempsey boys, Gillian Callaghan, and Carrie. We've got €14,700 next Friday night at cartoonga.com/lotto. Nabil O'Matney's from Mr. Colin O'Brien, and his numbers from last week were 3, 18, 19, and 22. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Kitty Monaghan, Clem from Navan. I assume that's Clem's, but could be, not sure. Maybe Clem Navan is a person. Vernon Wall.
It's the pub winner.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Aoife Fitzsimons, Naomi McGrain, Samantha Crowley, Sarah Crosby, and Connor Nolan. Jesus, that's some amount of match three numbers. So Matney's dodging a few bullets there. Anyway, their next draw takes place on the 13th of June. They've got €10,550 on offer. Manalvi from last Monday night, 5, 12, 25, and 26, their numbers. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Anthony Bryan, Dermot Callan, and Frank O'Sullivan. The next draw takes place tonight, that's Monday the 12th, with €3,200 up for grabs at Manalvi GFC, or you can play it on the Club Force app. Walterstown from the 4th of June. The numbers were 5, 6, 23, and 24. They had no jackpot winner. They had three match three winners, who were Patrick McGuinness, Frank Burke, and Jerry Cooney, former Mead selector. And next week's jackpot moves on to €7,000. And I think that could be it, Mickey.
The PROs are on holidays, so they are this week.
Yeah.
So I've got my usual ones. Kilmaine and Woods Lotto last week on the 5th of... took place last night, if I'm not mistaken. The numbers drawn were 9, 13, 20 and 25. There was no jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20 each, are Margaret Butterley, Jared Smith, Ulton Daly, Oisín Fagan, and Anne Dolan. Next week's jackpot lotto is €5,200, and it takes place actually tonight in Kyogan's Bar at 9 p.m. So those results are from last Monday, the 5th. Moving on to Central Sounds Lotto, That took place last week on the 5th as well. So their lotto was taking place tonight, Monday. We're recording late this week because I'm house-sitting and dog-sitting in Cavan, and I'm digging out a driveway and doing a bit of work while I'm down here. So I got tied up yesterday evening and Davey wasn't available. So Centerton's lotto anyway from last Monday the 5th. The numbers drawn were 4, 6, 20 and 23. There was no jackpot winner. There was 5 25 euro winners. Mick Dillon, Fiona Daly, Patrick Curtis, Breach Keneally, and the Scanlon family. Tonight's lotto is a massive 3,900 euro. And then finally, Simonson's lotto last Friday, the 9th of June, was 3,150 euro. There was no winner. The numbers drawn were 4, 15, 18, and 25. Martin Gorman, Colin Breslin, and Phil Keenan were the lucky dip winners. Next Friday night's lotto is 3,000 euro, and you can play it online. For all those lottos that I went through, you can go onto any of their social media pages, and you will get the link to their lottos on their social media pages.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Yeah, Davey, so that was the lottos. And just finally, Jelly got in contact as well after sending me on the lottos. And he's just the usual, mourn the town. And then he sends me three checkered flags. So I presume that's going to lead us beautifully into some Instagram interactive and some talk of the Irish League, I presume.
Yeah, they're on a break now. They're on their summer break for the next 3 weeks, I think. So Dundalk obviously having a brilliant win down in Leaside against Cork. 85th minute John Martin winner, but less about that. And more about the real Jelly talking about GAA for a change. And he said,
what?
4 goals in a week for Peter Duffy. And this has to be one of the more bizarre statistics, Mickey, that Peter Duffy got 4 goals in 5 days for 3 different teams in Simonstown. First team, second team, and third team. Beat that.
That should be illegal.
I'm pretty sure it is illegal, yeah.
I think it is, yeah. And we're after announcing it to the mass people, the masses around Mead. So somebody's going to put in an objection against Peter Duffy.
He wouldn't have got away with that in Ashburn, would he?
No, and not in my day either.
Lucky to be working, said Duggan in Love in Australia, lad.
Already?
He's a handsome man, though, isn't he, Sean Duggan? Like, he probably does well enough for himself.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ, he's only out there a wet week and he's already fallen in love.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan Dunn said Drumcondrit won 2 games. Yeah, that is a talking point.
2 games.
2 games, the Beclenard and Mary's both last week.
Oh, did they beat? Oh, right, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I suppose it arrests the slide for Drumcondra because, in fairness, what was it, 2 seasons ago, they didn't play in the junior championship, they played in the Premier. They won the Premier Division 3 or 4, whatever it was, and then came back into the Junior B Championship last year. And in fairness to them, they put up a really good showing in that junior championship. Just ran out of steam towards the end of it. And yeah, they did seem to go back this year. So that's... They're little green shoots for Drumcondra, in fairness.
I know, absolutely. They got promoted as well last year. I know they didn't go up, but they got to a league final. And it's a much changed team. So, they seem to have finally found something. The next one comes in from Brendan Boylan, and he said, any update on injuries, Caulfield or Shane Walsh? Well, I didn't know Caulfield was injured.
Neither did I, but did Colm not tell you that last week that Shane Walsh was going to be gone for the rest of the season?
And I don't think Shane Walsh is going to play for Nafina either this season. He got misdiagnosed with that hamstring injury, Mickey. Let me get this right. He ripped the hamstring off the tendon, and he ripped the tendon off the bone.
It's a complete rupture. I've heard of that before.
There was initial fears that he mightn't actually play football for Meath again. Now, I don't think it's quite that bad, but he's certainly not going to be playing any part this year. And even Nafina might do well to see him at any stage for the club championship.
Got a huge rehab ahead of him, so he does.
Mm. You'll love this one from Rob Cox of Extra Time Sport. And he said, I was at the Kildare versus Louth today in the Masters GA. Why don't Meath have a team? We've talked about this before, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. There was talk of it maybe... just before the pandemic, there was talk of me putting in a Masters team, and I had been asked would I play, and I had already committed to Cavan at the time, but I thought that they were going to have numbers. I think it'd be brilliant. Like, I have to say, I played Masters down here in Cavan. I'm not playing it at the moment because I can't play the club and
you're still good enough to be playing first team football.
Well, like I'm still playing the first team football with the club, but if I had time, I've got 3 kids and stuff like that. If I didn't have kids and whatever, I'd be playing the Masters football as well, and it'd be no problem. But it just and all the Masters games take place on a Saturday afternoon. But it is an absolutely brilliant, brilliant social event, and like they take it serious, the lads. Shane McInerney from a boy who plays with Cavan over 40s, the Masters team as well. And they won Shield final last year, and I went to meet them. And it was absolutely brilliant just to see all the lads. And all these lads that you would have, you know, battled against on the field for so many years. And then you hit your 40s and you're going over to this over 40s game, and you're meeting a lad who you probably thumped the head of or something like that on the field, or he thumped the head of you. And all of a sudden, you know, you start to realise, well, these are all just good guys as well. And, you know, that at the time, you maybe took it too seriously and all that kind of way.
Yeah, and sorry, in Meath, we have a number of fellas that are over 40 still playing at a very good level and playing first team football. So I would imagine we'd be very competitive, as well as the crack element to it too. So
there are a couple of really good teams. So there are. Like Mayo, Tyrone, Dublin.
Kerry? Do Kerry have one? No?
Never come up against Kerry. Never come up against Kerry. But the Dublin over 40s are and Mayo are really, really good. Like, but again, goes in fits and spurts. So it is. So it does.
Yes, Noah McBride's kind of echoed my point. They said great point, or he said great point. So many serious over 40 players still playing in the county. Be a strong team.
It would. It's a good competition as well. They take it very seriously.
Mm. Finn Hanratty said, any updates on Shane Walsh, Shane McEntee, Jason Scully, Thomas O'Reilly and Campion?
Well, go through them all there, Davey.
Well, we've talked about Walsh. He's gone. Shane McEntee might be back. If we beat Wexford, potentially he might be back. Jason Scully, I actually don't know. Thomas O'Reilly is gone. Darragh Campion is gone. So not great news there. He also wants to know Ethan Devine, who hasn't been part of the panel all year. So,
Just as you mentioned Jason Scully, did you see Matthew Costello's GA Go?
I actually did.
With Ray Galligan.
Yeah, very good.
Thought it was brilliant. Thought it was a great idea as well by GA Go to be doing things like that and to give
Tolchin Cup players a little bit of airtime.
I thought Ray Gallagher was very good. I thought he might have a career in that sort of environment.
I was going to text him and say, "Are you looking for my job on the radio?"
Yeah. you just better hope he plays for another few years, Mickey. But I'd say he will. He looks like he's still in decent nick. Ben Blakemore said, "Surely Dara Rowe deserves his chance on the panel."
Well, Cormac Rowe, we know, bar the injury, probably would have been called in and whatever. And Dara, yeah, like, fantastic footballer. Like, I wonder, has he been asked in?
I'm sure he has at some stage. It probably goes back to the kind of Mickey Newman thing. Like, would Dara's body be up to inter-county training? And I don't mean that he wouldn't be fit enough or good enough or anything like that. It's just the sheer volume of injuries that he sustained. He's only going 28, and he's probably missed more football than he's played in.
Because he's about 22.
Yeah. No, and sorry, still plays, like, he's still good enough, but I'm just not sure. I'm not sure he would be up to that level in terms of keeping himself fit, you know, with injuries. But it's a good point. PS Tapes wants to know, why do hurling commentators have such a horn for how many times the teams are level? It's so true. I can even think about it in my head. Level for the fourth time, level for the sixth time. They're level again for the eighth time.
They're level.
It's always hurling. Like, it's not really like that in football.
I love Speed County with their level. It is, but look, come here. Like, I suppose, you know, it has been highlighted by Colin O'Rourke recently as well. Like, you know, the hurling snobs. Like, it's like they're a minority and they have to be louder than everybody else. Like, hurling is a fantastic game, don't get me wrong. It is absolutely brilliant to watch, but they do get it. I suppose it is a very exciting game because of the amount of scores that are in it as well. To go with everything else, the skill, the speed and whatever. But when you see two top teams going at it and the game is tight, it is great to see. Like, the two games yesterday were fantastic.
They were absolutely outrageous. Yeah,
two of the best. I do get them. Like, that. Yeah. It's tough to listen to the commentators. But
they're the exact same commentators that would be commentating on football this weekend.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's the analysts that get excited then, maybe not the commentators.
No, he's talking about, you know, when Ger Canning says that they're level for the fourth time, or Darren Maloney says it. I think that's more, but yeah. Deck F. Dunn said, two lads going back to the LGFA Mead team while supposedly with the senior men's. Well, I don't know, does Deck think they're leaving the men's, but they're not.
I don't see
an issue with it, Mickey. I'm sure their wives probably have a bigger issue than anybody else would.
Maybe they don't.
maybe that's part of the problem.
Maybe that's part of a great relationship, as you never see them.
Yeah. But, like, I don't see an issue with it. I'm sure they could probably get a couple of beds brought down to Dungannie, because they're there more times. Six times a week, which is crazy stuff, but, you know, fair play to them. Here's another one from Hachita Red said, where is Thomas O'Reilly? Has he been dropped, or what's going on?
Well, have you any updates on that? Is he back with the Wolf Tones at the minute?
No, he had a procedure done. That's what Colm has been saying, and that's the issue, because you'll actually remember he had a fantastic cameo when coming on against Tipperary, and we haven't seen him since. I think he got 3 points when he came on in the second half of that game, which is a shame because he was obviously coming into form, but I'm not sure when we're going to see him next. Next one is from Philip Ahern, and he said, hurling is where it's at. Incredible games.
Yeah, look, they were absolutely brilliant, but it's just the excitement that... The excitement, if the commentators could bring the same excitement to the games of football, maybe we get more people watching the football.
Yeah. The last one has given everybody the heebie-jeebies. It comes from Darren Gibney in Moyla, and he said, if Meade get to the Tolton Cup final, is the first round of the championship moved?
Oh, that's, well, I presume it will be.
No, oh, well, no,
it won't.
No, there'll be 2 weeks of a gap, won't there?
Yeah, well, for some, for most clubs it is, but for others it's not. So the junior A, junior B, and possibly the intermediate kicks off the middle of July, which is the weekend of the Tailteann final. I believe there's no games, club games, penciled in for that Saturday. I believe they're all in for Friday or Sunday, and I think the plan is to keep them then. So
Yeah. No, and why would you? What, are they afraid they'll miss the homecoming?
I'll miss the homecoming. We're out on the Sunday.
Come here, let me ask you, Davey. Did nobody mention that the Wolf Tones game against the Colum Kills was called off last Tuesday night? Rightly so in the end.
Rightly so, Mickey. Rightly so in the end.
Yeah, but sure, look, I have to wind them up there a little bit out the road. But Wolf Tones were down to play on Tuesday night. They were on their way home from Donegal, having won the Comortis Pell and the Gaeltacht on the Sunday. So probably wouldn't have been right if they were made to play on the Tuesday night as well.
No, I think their second team were out on the Thursday, though, did they?
Yeah,
yeah, they fulfilled that now, in fairness to them. But I don't think they would have been in any fit state to play St. Colum Kills. It's a hard enough task at the minute. At the best of times, playing Colum Kills.
That's it from the Minster Interactive. Well, that's it from us for another episode of your We Are Me podcast. So remember, We Are Me, why matters more.